Take your Bibles and turn with me to John 15. John 15. And if you're a Bible scholar, you'll realize that it'll talk about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. I want to share this with you. It kind of touched me, and just want you to pay some attention to it. Even though we do not see all the fruit of our labors in the Lord while we are on the earth, it is vital that we keep sowing the seeds of God's love and grace. Seeing someone respond to God's love and receive His mercy and forgiveness, seeing someone delivered from the power of Satan, radically healed, or simply experiencing God's wonderful peace is a reason that the Holy Spirit works through us to gloriously shine the light of Christ through our lives. We have been called by God to lead by His Spirit, walk in His glory, and demonstrate His love and power. The anointing that God gives to all believers is the power and authority that resides within us because of the commission we have been given. Bearing fruit is not just an outward ministry, it is also allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be produced in our lives so that the external things happening will not infect the internal things that God's doing in our lives. We come to a place where so often we don't realize that God didn't save us just to get us out of this world. God saved us, challenged us, freed us for another purpose besides that. And that purpose is that we would bear the fruit that God has ordained would flow through us to others. Now, it's very interesting as we look at John 15, we're going to be looking at two major passages of Scripture. One is about bearing fruit, and the other are hindrances that Satan throws at us so we don't bear fruit. In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine," in verse 1, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself and it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Here's a verse always remember. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." It's very interesting as we look at this passage of Scripture. And as I was studying it yesterday and looking at it and then coming in this morning, and God said, "I kind of want you to go a different direction with this message." So Lance come in about 6:45 or whenever it was, and I'm starting over. It's very interesting that the purpose, one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit residing in us, is that we will have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and that fruit of the Spirit will shine forth. There's an amazing difference between Christianity and the Muslim religion. The Muslim religion is telling people to kill the infidels. That's anybody that is not Islamic. The Christian faith tells us to love them. Can you see a difference? Can anybody see a difference? There is an amazing opportunity for the church to rise up in the calling that God has given us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us, to pray for those who hate us, and to respond not in the same kind that they respond to us to, but to respond to them in love. And allow the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control to be exhibited wherever we go. It's not just love one another when you come to church. It's love one another when you're out there. It's love one another when you're on the job. It's love one another when you're doing things at home. It's love one another wherever you're going. It's even loving the Milbank Bulldog fans. Maybe the hardest test. No. But we're called to love. We're called to exhibit this fruit. And I know that God is desirous to have us produce the fruit of His kingdom. Now, there's some things people look at and say, well, I don't know. I'm not really the best Christian, or I'm not really this, or I'm not something else. You are what God made you to be. We are cleansed constantly as believers by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Word of God. There's a cleansing process that's happening in our lives. Because you've chosen to serve God. You've chosen to walk with God. You've chosen to come to a place where your life reflects Jesus Christ. There's a cleansing that happens all the time. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. I'm not preaching to backslidden Christians. I'm not preaching to people who have absolutely departed from the faith. I'm preaching to people, and I believe you love God. How many love God this morning? How many want to please God this morning? How many want to go to heaven instead of hell? Is that really true? Some of you didn't answer. Make it up your mind? Okay. Look at verse number 7 with me. I got a couple of verses I want to show you. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and I read a while back that John here is talking about that light of revelation, the revelation of Jesus that's been given to us. You can put in there what you want. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. How much? Okay. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It talks about grace and peace from Him who was and who is to come. And verse 5 says, and from Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So we started out by being washed in the blood, and the process is continuing. We started out by Him who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now let me ask you a question. What sin have you committed that's greater than the blood of Jesus? It's the right answer. None. None. And so we are cleansed. But as I was working on this and thinking about it, I believe there's a process of cleansing for our mind. One trip on vacation, I went through a couple days of just being ornery. And Judy could talk to you about that. Not me, I know, I'm so loving. Kind of ornery and stupid thoughts going through my mind. And we'd been driving for a couple days and getting up early, shutting down late. And on the third or fourth day, I said, what is going on in my head? I realized something. I wasn't getting up in the morning in the Word of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wasn't in the Word of God, and it just seemed like the enemy had an attack. And that next morning, I got up and was in the Word, and I was, maybe not, Judy wouldn't say fine, but better. That's improvement. And it's important that we spend that time in the Word. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 26, I believe it is. We can go 25 and 26, but verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives. Got that, guys? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Lay down your life for your wives, guys. Now listen to this. He's talking now about the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. Not your wife now, but his church. There's a cleansing process of washing with the word by washing our minds, washing us. Coming into that. You may say, Pastor, why are you going into that? Because there are many, many believers who simply believe I can't do anything for God because I'm dirty or I'm unclean or I'm not worthy or I'm not this or I'm not something else. A while back, you were released to do ministry. Remember that? A while back, you were released to do what God has called you to do and be a witness. But it's almost positive, I'm almost positive, that as you started to make up your mind to do it, the enemy threw something at you. You're not a pastor. You don't have R-E-V in front of your name. It's those people we have trouble with. You're not this, you're not that. And when Satan starts telling you what you are, aren't, remind him who you are. Remind him what you are. Don't just sit back and say, oh yeah, I can't do nothing now. No. Rise up, stand up, tell Satan, you had everything that I have except salvation, but you blew it because you wanted to be king. You wanted to be head. You wanted to be the leader. You wanted to be above God, and you got the left foot of fellowship. Now you're the one crawling on your belly and doing the things that you're doing, and after all, I'm moving into where you used to be. Amen. It's true. We are taking the territory, not only on earth, but we're taking territory in heaven that Satan used to be in charge of. Right? And so don't back down from doing what God is. I don't care what it sounds like. It doesn't matter what it is. You walk this life bearing fruit. And whether you know it or not, people are being touched by what you do. How many read Daily Bread yesterday morning? How many read My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name that sets the captive free. Do you realize something? I had the privilege of praying with a man who wrote that song in Virginia, Minnesota, and see God heal him of cancer. It's pretty amazing when you stop, and Judy, I didn't read it yesterday, and Judy brought it to my attention. Have you read about Oscar Eliasson? He's got the song in there, a name I highly treasure, a name that, a song that I love. But he was a man who called me one day from Cook, Minnesota. Ray knows where Cook is. And said, Dwight, I'm dying of cancer. Will you come out and pray for me? Went out to his farm, prayed with him. He later went to be with the Lord, not from the cancer. See his song. Then he told me the story, how he wrote that song. He wrote that song standing by a cemetery at a funeral service, where not once in the service or the committal had he heard the name Jesus. So he wrote that song, My Heart is Stirred Whenever I Think of Jesus. And we became very good friends. In fact, is we'd get together every once in a while and visit with Oscar. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to bring fruit through you. Now I hear people saying, but Pastor, that's so difficult. Is it? Let's look at it just for a moment. The Holy Spirit has given you His character, His very nature, for us to walk it out with Him leading us and with Him producing it within us. And all we have to do is let it shine out. How many of you have grandkids? How many of you are like me? You just kind of beam when your grandkids do something exciting. Like going potty on the potty chair. What a big deal, man! You went potty on the potty chair. And if they could talk, they'd look at us and say, yeah, but all that effort I did and you flushed it. Isn't it amazing what little things thrill you when you see your grandkids doing something or your children doing something and other people's kids are doing it? It doesn't even matter. Oh, big deal. You do it same as I do. Don't we, Carol? But bearing fruit is just allowing the Holy Spirit to produce that through you and let it flow, wherever you are. In season, out of season, whatever you're going through, you know, the Holy Spirit is so much greater than the things that we're looking at and the things that are affecting us or infecting us, the things that are happening around us. The Holy Spirit is so much greater. And He gives us reason to live the life of Jesus. And some of the greatest thrills are seeing somebody touched or seeing somebody healed or seeing Uncle Bud staggering out of the church. Seeing God do something. Seeing Larry laying on the floor when he was having heart trouble and he walked out totally healed. Just God doing things. And you know something? It's an amazing privilege to be used by God to see it happen. We got a call from Webster this week and finally got back to the gentleman and talked to him for a while. He was going through some issues and God spoke to him through a message that was preached here. You know, what a amazing. Praise God. It's exciting just to be a part of what God is doing and allowing Him then to reward us when we get to heaven for being a part of what He's doing. It's not a hard life, is it? It's not very hard. Praise God. What hinders us from doing it? Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the end of the world or the end of the age and the end times. Now, listen to me. Look at me. I'm not talking to you this morning about leaving. I'm talking to you this morning about staying. What are you talking about? We're still here, aren't we? Follow me? It's not that we're going to evacuate the planet tomorrow, although it might happen. I'm talking to you about the Church of Jesus Christ staying here and doing the work and continuing to do the work in spite of the opposition we might face. I believe in the rapture. I believe it's going to happen. But we're still here. How many are still here? You sure? Pinch yourself. I don't want anybody to go and say, Pastor denied that we're in the rapture. We're not in the rapture yet. We're here. Okay? Verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. Pay attention. Listen to me. Listen to me right now. Margaret talked to me this morning about Jesus being married. Does it matter? The Bible doesn't tell us he was, but does it matter? Is that going to affect your relationship with God? You say, well, what are you talking about? It doesn't say he committed adultery. I don't believe he was. I don't believe that he ever went through that. But I believe that people are throwing things out at you to get you all messed up so you start thinking things that's going on. There are things that people throw at you that has no spiritual matter. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Does it matter? Because I know the chicken did. Because Adam would have got hungry. And he couldn't find the KFC. It doesn't matter, does it? Where'd the giants come from? Does it matter? Is that going to affect your faith? I mean, there are some things we just have to look at that it'd be nice to have answers to, but we don't necessarily have answers except the giants were the son of Enoch, and where Enoch came from, I don't know. And the only thing I know is that the New York Giants came from New York. And I don't like them. So be careful that you don't get caught up in some stuff that's going to take our focus off what's happening that God is doing, and we get tied up in some things that don't matter. We okay? Oh, by the way, I heard that 2,000 churches took a stand to tell people how to vote. And there's 2,000 attorneys waiting to get a job. Let's continue on, Matthew 24. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, in verse 5, and will deceive many. There's deception again. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. For the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Don't allow, look at me, don't allow the disturbances on planet Earth to get your focus away from what God is doing. Every time you start getting concerned about what's happening in the world, write this down. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 speaks to us in the last days through his Son, who is in the likeness of God and who upholds all things by the word of his power. There's nothing out of control that Jesus is not in control of. That's a very positive statement. The Bible says that through Christ in Ephesians chapter 2, all things consist, or all things are held together. Don't stop feeding yourself the word, praying, bearing fruit, because things are in turmoil in the world. Friends, if you believe Christ is coming, you've been looking for this time. I love the way you're shouting.
Amen.
if you are believing that Christ is coming, these things must come to pass. The Bible calls them the beginning of sorrows, not the end of them. We okay? It's not a time to sit back with our feet up waiting for Jesus to come. It's a time to be out there bearing fruit, sharing Christ, doing everything we can in the name of Jesus to get people attention. I know you're going to like this one too. Verse number 9. They will. It doesn't say they might. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Look at me. Look at me. There's a move by a certain religion to make everybody what they are and to eliminate those that aren't. Martyrdom to the believer is a ticket to heaven. Don't deny Christ. Don't back down. Don't allow 0.06% of the American population to dictate to you and this country how we're going to live for Jesus. It ain't going to happen, friends. I just read yesterday that a certain religion has 0.06 of our population. It's not too many. Kirk's mind's going because he thinks it's more than that.
They're moving in.
They're moving in. But we're moving up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. As they move in, some of them are going to receive Christ. It's not a time to bury our head in the sand and say, we're just going to go hibernate. We're going to get in some commune. We're going to do something else. It's time to shine for Christ. It's time to bear the fruit. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
Okay, verse 10. And many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. The word offense is a very interesting word. It has a couple different meanings. The word offense is actually, how many have ever trapped with steel traps with the trigger on it, and you put the bait on it, and then you put your hand in there to see if it's working? Is that how you do it, Dick? Oh, I got my hand in a bear trap. We used to have these bear traps. They're huge. The word offense means the bait on that trigger that the animal takes. Don't be baited by Satan. It also means, and I looked it up this morning, it also means to be led astray, to walk astray, to leave. Offense. Let me give you some warnings. Just when you're dealing with somebody and they're talking to you, before you share your opinion about the situation, just simply ask them, do you want to hear my opinion? I've shared opinions I probably shouldn't have, offended someone. Don't live with past offenses. Don't live with hurts from 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. You don't have to. It's like Richard said Sunday, but people will say, but you don't know what I've been through. But you know something? You don't know what the people you've been talking to have been through either. But God knows. Don't allow anything that's happened to you because of people keep you from being what God has called you to be and sharing and bearing fruit that God has called you to bear. So easy. And you know something? As you get older, it's harder to get rid of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just stays there. Offenses. There's offense that we receive and offenses that we give. I wonder how many people are going to depart from the faith in the last days, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, because of offenses. Isn't it amazing? Now bear with me. I'm not talking about anybody here or anybody in this congregation, but it's pretty amazing that we will get our feelings hurt and will allow that to fester and fester and fester until people walk away from God and end up in the lake of fire. Who won? I didn't win. Don't take them. When you get your feelings hurt, go to God immediately and say, God, I'm not taking this. I'm not holding it. I'm letting it go in Jesus' name. I am your child, and Father, you deal with it. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If you get involved in it, God gets out of it. We okay? Amen? Amen? Amen. It's really true. People will betray one another. They will hate one another. There will be many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We're coming back to the Old Testament times. You'll say, what are you talking about? The Old Testament time when everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. Don't you? Follow this. I'm going to close with this. There were two people who were tremendously abused because they did good. And there's more than that in the Bible. How many remember Joseph? What did Joseph's brothers do to him? Threw him in a well, and where did he end up? If you got your Bible, go to Matthew. Go to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Verses 3 through 8. The Bible says, if you can't find it, it's the beginning of the Bible. Thought I'd help. 53. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. He never forgot what happened to him. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. How about that for having a good attitude? How about that for having a good attitude? You may have sold me, but God brought me here for a purpose. And he tells them that in chapter 50. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because after their father died, they came back thinking that they might have trouble again. But he said, no. Getting even only hurts yourself. This is an amazing one too, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 16. We'll skip a few verses in here. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much fortune by profit, by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us a way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? We seem like something normal. But something happened. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods, and they had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, there could have been a jailbreak, because we know that the earthquake, they were freed, they were going to leave, the jailer was going to kill himself. But Paul says, no, we're still here. Paul could have just shut up and the jailer would have been dead. And then they take him to Paul's house, and Paul explains to them how to be saved. He teaches the word of God to his family, the one who was holding him in incarceration. And he ministers to him. Bearing fruit. The whole family was saved. Anything clicking? Let's live our life every day with the intense purpose of demonstrating the compassion, grace, mercy, love of God, no matter what, to people around us. You may say, well, I don't like them. I don't care about them. Doesn't matter to me what happens to them. Matters to him. Because it matters to him, it matters to me. Amen? God has designed you, prepared you, and filled you, anointed you and me to bear fruit together. And I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely amazing to see somebody saved, healed, delivered, just finding God's peace, finding God's mercy. It's not a time to focus on what everything's wrong with that one. It's time to focus on what can God do in that one's life. Amen? Stand with me, will you? Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your Son, and I thank you that you are our Father. And Lord, may our lives resemble yours, and may we absolutely, daily, purposefully desire to bear fruit for your kingdom. And may nothing hinder us from what we're doing for you. In Jesus' name, amen.